Day content. This is great too. A lot of the items that I'm going to share with you would be great as anniversary gifts. You got graduation season. Lots of items that can give you that double deal applicability. But I just wanted to show you a couple of things that we have as our do this, not that for mom. How does that sound?
I love it because mom wants to be loved, but you don't want to waste time or money, and you don't want to get involved in some scam. Granite's got the deals for you. What do you have?
Exactly. So we spoke to moms across the country, focus groups throughout Northeast Ohio. First things up for grabs, don't buy a gift card for mom. Get her a gift that lasts. Christmas is one thing, but just handing your mom a wad of cash on Mother's Day in the form of plastic doesn't exactly scream, I've put a ton of thought into your gift. There are more memorable options you can score, including some really beautiful photo canvas prints. Upload a favorite photo, $25, you get it delivered, WTAM.com, keyword save. Second tip for mom, don't get experimental on scent. Get mom the perfume she already wears. To be honest, this was voted by moms we interviewed throughout the country. They like what they like, and they don't need you to tell them otherwise.
Exactly. That mom was here before you got here, so mom knows what she likes, right?
Exactly, exactly. And a third tip, and of course, we're going to have live Mother's Day coverage of deals that have all of this incredible meaning and some tremendous savings attached to them. Tip number three is mom actually likes tech more than you give it credit for. So if you are considering a vacuum for mom, don't get her a vacuum for Mother's Day, but she might love a Roomba or a RoboVac, which you can find on WTAM.com, keyword save. More importantly, we associate tech with dad. That is incorrect. Moms throughout Northeast Ohio were just as happy to get a great gadget. And of course, we'll have those covered for you live right here next week.
Excellent. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. He's done all the work. Couple of clicks, you'll have the deals and know what to do and what not to do for mom. Matt, thanks much. Have a great weekend, pal.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. The legend of LeBron seems to grow game by game, even quarter by quarter right now.
LeBron has his back into Lowry. Cavs won a three-second violation. LeBron fadeaway jumper. It's high arcing and it's good. Oh, my goodness. He dropped that through from the Raptors. 103-87 is the Cavalier lead. 33 for LeBron James.
He just stunned the Raptors once again, 128-110. LeBron only had 4 points after the first quarter. He finished with 43, hit 7 fadeaways like that in the second half. And teammate Kevin Love says he knew that that kind of game was coming.
When he went over his right shoulder and then went over his left shoulder, he said when he got the mismatch that he was going to do that. So he actually called his shots this morning.
Yeah, that was at the shoot-around. Love knew something big was coming from LeBron. And how about Love himself? A 31-point game, and the Cavaliers roll the Raptors again. They've now won 8 straight playoff games against Toronto to take a 2-0 lead. So it really is all on the line for the Raptors tomorrow in Game 3 at the Q, although many believe it was really last night for them. The Cavaliers now back home still have to take care of business, and it looks like they've got that right mindset to do just that. 8:30 tip tomorrow night at the Q. They're up 2-0. Speaking of being up 2-0, so are the Celtics as they rallied from 22 down, beat the Sixers last night in Boston to go up 2-0 in that series. They played 2 at Progressive Field, had to wait 2 hours to begin Game 1 because of rain. They then lose a slugfest, the Indians do, in Game 1, 13-11 in 11 innings. And then the Indians had Adam Plutko on the mound of the nightcap. Game was tied at 2 in the fifth.
Ramirez, the DH here in the nightcap. The 3-0 pitch to him. He swings and drives it high and deep to right. Home run, Jose Ramirez. A moonshot into the lower stands and right for Ramirez, and the Indians grab the lead for the first time tonight. Drive 4, Blue Jays 2.
That was the beginning of a 9-run inning, and that was the cushion Adam Plutko would need as the Tribe would get the split, winning 13-4 in the nightcap, as Tito put it.
You know, you don't show up trying to get a split. But after the way the first game went, we'll be thrilled with it.
So on to New York they went, and they begin a series with the Yankees tonight at 7:05. Tomlin against Sabathia. We'll have it for you right here. Browns owner Dee Haslam revealed yesterday the team is exploring a development project that could include a major renovation of First Energy Stadium or building a new one. This would be about 10 years away. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield, the rest of the rookies, will be on the field in Berea for a mini camp this weekend. The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. I like Audible to get the mile and a quarter ahead of the field. More on LeBron's amazing night coming up at 5:45, home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Bill O'Reilly weighs in on the news of the week with Glenn Beck following the 10 o'clock news this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. North Korea may be one of those topics. It's a fast-moving story. Here's Rudy Giuliani. Boy, we've heard more from him this week than we have in a while on different topics.
We got Kim Jong-un impressed enough to be releasing three prisoners today.
That was yesterday. Bill Zimpfer's following this story through the night. Bill, what is going on here?
Wow, Rudy Giuliani really jumped in with both feet, didn't he, Bill? Covering a number of topics in that interview he did. Well, here's what we know so far. After Giuliani's comments, both the White House and the State Department said they could not confirm the validity of those reports. The latest information we have is that the three United States citizens who have been detained in North Korea may have been moved to a hotel away from their labor camps and are reportedly undergoing what is called a health treatment and ideological education, whatever that means. So it is still possible that these three could be released at any time. Giuliani may have jumped the gun a little bit on this, but it looks like we are standing by for the possibility that these three could be released at any time. This is safe to say has been approached as one of the conditions for a Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un meeting in the future. So I expect we may get a release in the near future, but as Joseph Yun, who was our former diplomat in North Korea before retiring earlier this year, as he has said, we probably won't know about the official release until it's already happened.
All right, Bill Zimpfer on it this morning. Could change hour by hour. All right, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
One other story to follow up on. ABC News crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett with me on this. Investigators are hoping to use a genealogy website to track down the Zodiac Killer, one of America's most mysterious unsolved cases that has been going on for well over a half a century. This on the heels of James DeAngelo, the so-called Golden State Killer, being arrested a week ago. Brad, you continue to follow this. What do we know here?
You know, that he's a guy that when he moved into a community, sexual assaults and ultimately murders started. When he became a police officer in Exeter, California, they started. Then he became a police officer in Auburn, north of Sacramento. It started in again there, and it went on. In fact, another 6 or 7 years after he got fired from the Auburn Police Department. So, you know, but I'll have to hand it to him. He's a guy that figured out how to do these, not get caught, and evade the police.
James DeAngelo, sadly, a serial killer, as you say. Two things I want to ask you about. Where do you, I don't know if it's a fair question, where do you rank him? But secondly, how about this DNA part of this story? Almost inadvertently finding this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's somewhat unique because, Bill, there's such a long period of time between the acts that they know about, and he ultimately gets caught 40 years later. But, the DNA of this really tells you if you've got the time, the manpower, and the money, because it's not cheap to run these websites as many months as they had to run them, to narrow it down to potential candidates. But let's face it, you still have to have the DNA of the bad guy from the scene to match it up to him, which they ultimately did. But very impressive. And I think it shows maybe where law enforcement is headed with people they're having trouble identifying.
Another amazing example when it comes to science, James DeAngelo joins a long list of sad cases, including John Wayne Gacy, of course, and Ted Bundy. IRA Brad Garrett following up on the Golden State Killer. Thanks, Brad.
Take care, Bill.
Cavaliers up 2-0. Mike Snyder Sports coming up. All right, we got us wiretaps or logs or phone pings or whatever, and we got 130,000 we're still tracking. Michael Bauer with this thing this morning on Stormy Daniels. What is the latest?
Well, it seems as though the latest this morning is that Rudy Giuliani seems to be dusting off his hands and saying, my job here is done. He already believes he's settled the case in regards to Stormy Daniels as it applies to the Mueller investigation, saying that the information that he gave off yesterday on television about how the president reimbursed Michael Cohen for payments to Stormy Daniels, it gives that case no longer gives the case implications of any kind of campaign finance laws that were violated, and thus Mueller can now kind of walk away from that portion of the investigation, although It seems as though legal experts disagree, saying that if Trump wanted to even think about deploying a defense in regards to Stormy Daniels about payments that were meant to spare his wife Melania from embarrassment, Giuliani just made that a lot more difficult with his statements yesterday.
And the White House, if I got this quote right, information the president didn't know at the time and eventually did learn on what he or did not know and when he did not know it or what he did not say. She's trying to carefully parse her words as well, I guess, from the podium.
Yes, that's definitely true. And according to what Giuliani said yesterday, he said that and I found this very interesting too here, Bill, that he said that he, Giuliani, shared the information about the payments that were made from President Trump to Cohen about a week ago. So he was the one who enlightened President Trump that these payments were made back to Cohen.
Okay.
He said, quote, I don't think the president realized that he paid Cohen back for the specific thing until the legal team made him aware of the paperwork. And that's when Giuliani said, quote, the president's response was, quote, oh my goodness, I guess that's what it was for.
I got you. Quote. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders was carefully wording what she was saying yesterday because the press was really trying to nail her down on what she knew and didn't know.
That's probably a big part of where the problem you're going to see both yesterday and today is where is this kind of credibility lie now for the White House, where you've had these conflicting reports. You've had sometimes 3 to 4 different stories as to where the White House stands and the president stands on Stormy Daniels, and now there's this.
So Rudy says, nothing going on, move along.
Yeah, Rudy says, I've taken care of this business. There's nothing to see here. Keep going on here. Legal experts saying that everything that Rudy Giuliani opened up to yesterday could be in trouble for Trump.
And keep a little something for yourself.
Keep a little something for you.
Have a great weekend. Fox's Chris Wallace joins me. Fox News Sunday. So many things here and there. Hey, I want to go right to North South Korea. I find this fascinating. You know, there's so much going on. This history, what do you think finally got the North to the South? How is this possible right now?
Well, I think President Trump has a lot to do with it. As he said himself at that rally last Saturday, what did Trump have to do with it? Everything. I think the threats, I mean, and a lot of this was unconventional. A lot of people had doubts about it. But the threats, little rocket man, I have a bigger nuclear button than you do, the sanctions, the insults, fire and fury, I think all of that had a real impact. And most importantly, his new campaign of maximum pressure, really tightening the screws economically and getting China to do something to tighten the screws. Let me tell you, I don't know that much about North Korea, but I'm sure that Kim Jong-un didn't make this big decision because of just a change of heart or he's decided to be Mr. Nice Guy.
Right.
He did it because he thought it was the best thing to ensure his survival. Now, having said all of that, and as significant as it was, and I think now there is going to be a Trump-Kim summit, you know, you look at the history of the Kim family and they make these deals, the pressure is relieved, they get some benefits from it, and then they go back on their word. That's the key. Will they keep their word?
I wonder when the book is written down the road, as they say, the historians get their hands on this, did China play much of a backdoor deal as Trump might like to do sometimes, deals?
Well, we don't know, but I mean, it clearly the U.S. was not fully satisfied and thought that President Xi could have done more. On the other hand, he continues to talk very positively about President Xi, and, you know, that'll be one of the interesting things to see, because right now there's a U.S. delegation over in Beijing arguing about trade, and, you know, these things are interlocked, and if he really were to launch a trade war against China, at this point it's just a threat, it's not a reality. The big question would be, would the Chinese then maybe ease the pressure on the Kim regime and thereby mess up the possibility for a deal.
Hey, one other international story, and I get you out of here. Bibi Netanyahu, I mean, this Iran deal has been so controversial. One thing about Netanyahu, he wants to get people's attention, and he knows how to do it, right?
No, he's a great showman, a great performer. I don't mean that in a negative way.
Right.
I think it's, you know, I remember what Ronald Reagan once said when they said, you know, people ask me, how can you be president as an actor? He said, I don't know how you could be president and not be an actor.
Right.
He's very good at it. I do think that to some degree what he said was kind of overstated. He basically was saying that the Iranians lied about the military aspect of their nuclear program in the run-up to the deal, and everybody knew they were lying, and that's one of the reasons that the U.S. and our Western allies made the deal. There's no indication, and in fact, to the contrary, the international inspectors and even the defense secretary, James Mattis, say they're abiding by the deal. Now, you can argue it's a bad deal and it needs to be toughened, but I don't think that really alters the basis on which the deal was made.
Fascinating time. A couple national stories, international stories that will continue to play out. Chris Wallace and Seymour and Fox News Sunday, of course, Sunday morning on Fox 8. Thanks, Chris.
You bet. Thanks, Bill.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping.
You thinking The Graduate?
Left its seeds while I was sleeping.
Or Blacklist?
Yes, I remember that episode. Yes.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, Sports Writer of the Year over and over again on the Cavaliers this morning with us on News Radio WTAM 1100. Terry, good morning. I'm thinking Toronto, as you were there last night, at times it was the sound of silence for the Raptors, huh?
It certainly was. I mean, actually, if you think about it, too, the way that Simon and Garfunkel Wilkes song begins, "Hello, darkness, my old friend," that's about how the fans feel there when the Cavs get going at the Air Canada Center. I mean, they can just feel the sense of doom coming. And he just won the Northeast Arena, and boy, by the third quarter, there were a few people still trying to rally the lads, but it just wasn't going to happen. It's been amazing because, I mean, Toronto is a good team. You can't prove it by the way they play the Cavaliers, but they are.
And Terry, even by his own spectacular standards, that was pretty amazing what LeBron did last night, the way he shot the ball, wasn't it?
It's like I wanted to just rip your heart out and stomp it. It was kind of like what he was doing, because in the beginning, you know, they made a concentrated effort to get the ball to Kevin. You know, Love took 9 of the 21 shots in the first quarter, you know, threw up 10 points, which is about what he'd been averaging in the playoffs. Lots of movement, and then a few of the other guys got involved, and it's like LeBron was like, well, let's see if I can do that shot again, that fall away from the elbow there, only I'm going to be a little bit farther back this time. It was astounding to see. Yeah. And, you know, but when they did make some noise, like, that's how it was. And, you know, what a position the Cavs are in right now.
They really are in the driver's seat, of course, coming home now with a 2-0 lead. Kevin Love, it looked like he just played, didn't worry about whether he was the 4 or the 5 last night. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, they got him moving a lot, too. You know, both the old time give and go to the basket, or let's make sure that Kevin, don't just throw, have him go stand there under the basket and throw him the ball and then watch. You know, let's set some plays for him. And he just seemed to, I'll tell you, here's the other thing, too. I mean, Toronto just doesn't defend like Indiana. Indiana was very physical, very frustrating to play against. You know, Toronto, it's a looser game, and they kind of want to try to, quote-unquote, outscore the Cavaliers. Well, that's not a good idea. And, boy, did Kevin get comfortable right away, and that seemed to, you know, strike the whole team. I remember I talked to Kyle Korver after, and he said, you know, we knew Kevin was going to get going. When he got going, we knew it would be big. Well, there it was.
And Kevin said afterwards that he knew LeBron was going to have a big night, so it's all good. I think, Terry, to your point defensively, the Cavs only had 3 turnovers last night, only 9 in 2 games. That's amazing.
Right. I mean, as much as I think LeBron, 14 assists and 1 turnover the way he was handling the ball. I mean, at times it really was like he was the big brother in his backyard, you know, playing the little kids from the neighborhood and his own little brothers, and they had no chance. So we'll see. You know, clearly series have changed before, and not very often. The team that has won the first 2 games in the road, I think, has won 22 out of the 26 series that have gone that way. I mean, the great thing, too, I know LeBron wants some rest, so if they can take this thing and make sure it isn't some kind of grueling 7-game series, that's one of his big goals, too.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why you can't let him off the mat tomorrow when you get back home at the Q, can you?
No, and I think it's this is one of those games where I'm glad it is the next day. Sometimes LeBron just might have him 2 days off, but really, and get them out there, get them going. I watched the body language of DeRozan and Kyle Lowry afterwards when they brought him into the press room, and I mean, you know, you get the old "it is what it is." Lowry said something. He goes, we have to play harder. We have to have more effort, like somehow, some way. That was the exact quote.
Interesting. Terry Pluto, great column this morning. Follow him on Twitter, at Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. It won't be a silent night tomorrow night, let's hope, at Quicken Loans Arena. Terry, thanks, pal. Safe travels.
Take care, guys.
All right, movies for the weekend. Got some time. What to do? Kevin Carr joins us from Fat Guys at themovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Bill. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. Well, if you haven't seen Avengers 1, 2, 3 times already, I guess there is that option, too, right?
Well, yeah, it's still out. You know, it's still doing well. It's probably going to be another massive hit this weekend. But, you know, Hollywood always tries to throw something else out there.
Bad Samaritan, Tully out this weekend. Tully looks kind of interesting. Charlize Theron's in this thing?
Yeah, Charlize Theron, she stars in another movie directed by Jason Reitman, written by Diablo Cody, about a woman who is having some struggles as a mother of three, and somebody who hires a nanny for her. And she reluctantly takes the help and forms a special bond.
Okay. All right. We got that. Let's talk about Overboard. Tell me about this one.
Well, this is a remake of the 1987 film directed by Gary Marshall that starred Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. And this one, they've got a gender swap of the characters. And in this one, you've got Anna Faris playing a working-class woman struggling to make ends meet and care for her three daughters. And she works, goes to clean the carpets on a rich guy's yacht, the rich guy played by Eugenia Derbez. And he is kind of a jerk and a self-centered person and just kind of literally tosses her off the boat. And later on, when he falls off the boat and gets amnesia and washes up on shore, she pretends he's her husband and brings him home to sort of punish him for the situation. And in the process, he of course learns what it's not like to be a regular person and have a nice life. And you know, it's basically a romantic comedy. I know there's a huge following for the original film from 1987, and I actually haven't seen it, but I do know that there's a lot of love out there for it. This movie, while it has a couple plot issues, you know, of course, using amnesia, which is, that's sort of the go-to joke with quicksand and amnesia for TV and movies, and it does run a little long at times, but overall, it's a cute little movie. It's it's a movie that would make a nice date night, I'd say.
Hey, sounds like a date flick for the weekend. You're right about Overboard in the following. First thing Scooter said, better be careful because they already made it once. Let's make sure they do it right, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there is a rabid fan base for the original movie that you never know exists until you talk about remaking it.
All right, you might want to rent that this weekend, the original. Go see the remake, Overboard. Kevin Carr, check out his website, fatguysthemovies.com, before you do anything, though, for more movie reviews and news. Kevin, have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
This is one of those crazy days. You want to know how crazy it was? As we were getting on the plane to leave, the Cavs were landing. Ty Lue walked by me and said, hey, what's up? I was so out of it that I, honest to God, kept walking and realized as I was getting into the plane that I just had walked by Ty Lue.
Wow. Wow. What a day. What a day, Andre. Baseball, it's a makeup, then you get the two-hour delay, and then that first game. But how about Adam Plutko in his performance last night? He really saved the day, didn't he?
He did save the day. I mean, going into that second game, if you paid attention to what the bullpen had done over the last 4 or 5 days and then watched what happened in game one, you start thinking the worst. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. And Tito kind of admitted that after the game. He was fantastic. He did everything that he needed. He told me after the game that because he had been up with the team the last 2 years, he remembered last year watching Corey Kluber go through two complete games. And he told me, I don't have the same stuff he does, but I'm going to try to attack hitters the way he does. And, you know, that was just huge for the day for the Indians.
You know, a milestone for Tito, win number 50, his 1,500th win as a manager. And I think an example, Andre, and you've been around him day-to-day now for the last few years, and I guess before the game he went up to Plutko with the bullpen the way it is. He says, all right, Adam, you're on a pitch count today. And Adam looked at him and he said, 225. and I just think that's the way he works with guys, though, doesn't he? He just really knows guys, got a great sense of humor when it needs to be utilized. Your thoughts about that and the way he runs this team?
Snipes, you just hit it on the button. He knows how to motivate every guy. He knows that every guy is different. He knows how to get guys to be loose and to trust in themselves. And I think you've seen that over the last few years, that he has patience like no other. I know that the first month of the season, everyone was kind of freaking out about batting averages and who was hitting and who wasn't hitting. And the one guy that was the most patient about it was Tito.
And he always says, guys will get to their numbers. You just got to stick with them. And over the last 4 or 5 days, you've seen Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, Kipnis. You see all these guys, Edwin, you see all these guys slowly but surely kind of hitting into their numbers. And that plays into who Tito is. The best part about him winning that game, he truly had no idea that that was number 1,500. He had no idea at all.
I caught him on the – I couldn't even keep track which game. It was about 7 o'clock or so, and I look on my smartphone as I'm watching the Cavs, and I see Terry Francona at the podium. And I'm thinking, well, which game is this to start with? And he's talking about, you know, DL and all. And when I looked at the 1,500 wins, guys, I want to get Francona a shirt. I got this. Because Andre, whenever we got this. You know, here's what's going on. He just settles everything down, doesn't he?
Yes, he's very calm. He always knows how he wants to play a game out, how he's going to use his bullpen. He's grown up around baseball, but I think the best part is he really doesn't make it about himself. He makes it about the players. He treats every guy the same exact way. He makes everybody, whether it's a security guard, myself, a camera guy, no matter what city we're in,
yeah,
he knows how to make people feel comfortable around him, and I think that's why his teams have been so successful.
All right, you got to the hotel what time?
3:30.
3:30, okay. Call Hamilton, and just once you guys have breakfast about 8 o'clock, send me the bill, okay?
You're a sweet man, Bill.
But I want to see the time. I don't want to see 11:30. I want to see 8 a.m.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Get some rest, Dre. Good job, man. I tell you what, you sound great this morning.
I was pushed because they were all saying I wouldn't make it.
I got my 5. Andre, thanks, partner.
Thanks, Dre.
Take care, boys.
Andre Knott, Fox Sports. Sports Time Ohio is stuff from the dugout all weekend. We got Tomlin on the mound tonight. 7:05 first pitch.
Big series.
Here. GanleyAuto.com Tribe Insider at 6. More with Jensen Lewis at 8:45. What a win last night. 128-110. Jim Jones will join us 8:45. Mike Snyder will talk some Indians with Jensen Lewis. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is on the line here. Mike, did you get an email from him? I just got my black velvet jacket back from the cleaners. and Greg, I see that you have put together, and I can't wait to come see it, the presentation for the inductees. Did you want my black velvet jacket? Maybe I missed the email requesting it.
Absolutely, Bill. We have a special place to exhibit that jacket of yours.
There you go. I can't wait to see where that place is.
I just wondered. It's back from the cleaners, and I know you've got a nice display of what was left from the inductees, and it was a special night. I thought maybe you wanted it, so I hadn't seen the – maybe it's in my clutter.
We're going to exhibit that jacket next to a plate with the tails off of your shrimp cocktail from the reception.
There you go.
It'll be a special – okay, I'll get it down to you soon. Look, congratulations. What a weekend a couple weeks ago with the whole celebration. And really, now you can enjoy all that and everything new at the Rock Hall, right?
Absolutely. Right. You know, it was a terrific week. The community shined. The guests had a blast. Everybody left with a wonderful impression of Northeast Ohio and Cleveland. The hotels were filled. Downtown was buzzing. Really exciting. And think about it right now. You know, we've got spring has hit. The forsythia is out. The Cavs are in the second round, and they're 2-0. The Indians are in first place. The Browns just closed out a strong draft, and we're pushing ahead toward a great summer season for all of Cleveland, but also for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And so much new to see at the Hall of Fame, and what a push into it, as you just suggest, Greg.
We've had we have some new exhibits that are opening up. We're going to open at the end of this month one about rock and roll and television. Talks about, you know, how much we saw through the small screen in our living rooms. You know, Ed Sullivan Show, Soul Train, in Northeast Ohio, Upbeat, MTV. It's a spot where music came to all of us, and we tell that story. We also have another exhibit coming in June about rock and roll and pinball. Think of all the great pinball machines that we've played. There's a Metallica machine. There's an Alice Cooper machine. There's the Elton John, Captain Fantastic. There's a Who machine. And all these machines come with artifacts, and people get to play them in the museum, which is going to be great fun. The other thing we're doing is we have a lot of live music this summer. You know, it really kicks off coming up with the Memorial Day weekend. There's a festival on that Sunday called Catch Meaning on our plaza. People should check that out. It's for a great cause. And then we're going to have 60 days of live music all summer long. And somewhere in the middle of all that, there's a downtown music festival called Inkaya that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is part of in August. Lots of great things happening, and we're just very excited to move from the induction focus to now the focus on hosting 300,000-plus visitors over the next couple months.
And I know what a great night it was, the induction ceremony, and now actually tomorrow, Greg, it's now going to be the premiere, right? Folks can see the whole show?
Yes, it airs tomorrow night for the first time on HBO. Editors have been working the last few weeks to take the best of the best from that night, and it's a two-hour-plus show. It'll air in all of North America on Saturday night, and then around the world, it will be available through Amazon, and people can view it, learn about these inductees, and see these great performances.
I know Snyder and I were in a lot of it. You'll be able to check out some of that on HBO, and that, again, premieres tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Really a special night to enjoy.
Yes.
What was just a fantastic week for Northeast Ohio and for rock, right, Greg?
It really was. It was the eyes of the world were on us. And the people in attendance had a blast. The good news is this can be shared through the broadcast, but also at the museum. We have a new inductees exhibit. We have a new inductees floor where we had Bon Jovi and the Moody Blues and others throughout the weekend came over. They got to walk through the plaques and see the Beatles and the Stones and Smokey Robinson and Springsteen, and then they saw theirs. And I think it crystallized the magnitude of being inducted, and it was really just great to see them, but also to see fans react to this new exhibit, this new spaces. And we just want to thank all of our friends and neighbors here in Northeast Ohio and encourage you to come down and see all these new changes as well.
If you're not a member already, look into joining, too, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when you check it out this weekend. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock Hall. By the way, do you want my pocket square, that black purple, too, with the velvet jacket? Do you need both?
You know, we'd like them both, Bill, and if you could, don't wash them.
Oh,
we want this
oh.
to be authentic.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
All right, well, I'll
there
get them down
go.
To you. I'll put them, I'll put your name on them.
Send them over. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too, buddy. Be good.
1, 2, 3,
we have everything it takes to win.
Because I love the adrenaline in my veins. I do
it takes 43 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds. He'll do it. Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Cavs legend Jim Jones joins us this morning, brought to you by Huntington Bank, one of bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Jim, good morning. And you were a witness last night to LeBron, literally, right?
Yeah, he was better than he's been in 2 weeks, which is hard to say. But I just thought that the game plan and the strategies, and he gave Coach Lou credit, and the in-game adjustments that Lou made, I thought helped really solidify the victory. And it was pretty easy, really. You know, it was that, hey, if they're going to switch everything and they're going to put their guards, their point guard, and their off guards on LeBron James, then we need to scrap everything else and let him take him. And that's what they did. The thing that was so surprising is that after they switched and they knew that we had a distinct advantage with LeBron against whomever, they never came and double-teamed LeBron. They stayed home on the three-point shooters, and he had a field day. He beat them one-on-one, time in and time out.
Jim, it is interesting. You know, going back even to Indiana, we've not seen a team really in any of these games run two guys at LeBron, have we?
No, we haven't. Nobody has an answer. If you go back to when Michael Jordan played, it was the same thing. It was Michael getting big numbers and everybody else coming in supporting, getting anywhere from 8 to 15 points a game. And that's basically what happened. Kevin Love had a breakout game, but LeBron is the difference, just like Jordan was the difference when he played with those great Bulls teams.
Jim, we always look to the late going of the game, but let's go early. Yesterday, the Cavs really did make an effort to get Kevin going. LeBron only had 4 points in the first quarter. They made a concerted effort to get Love going. Why did they do that, and what did that mean for the rest of the game by doing it that way?
Well, Kevin has a history that when he plays well, we win games easy. And he's so talented, the guys, that when he struggles, it becomes frustrating to us as viewers who watched him do so many great things. He's such a gifted athlete. You know, he can rebound. He has 3-point range. He's a passer. He's one of the top 5 defensive rebounders in the game. He's a smart. He's just a smart guy. You know, and he makes pressure free throws. You know, and so when he's struggling, you know, it really hurts the team. but I got to give Lou credit. They went to him early in that first quarter. His first three, I think he was 1 of 4 in his first four shots, but they kept giving him the ball. Something that he did add to his game that Lou talked about in the post-game press conference was he had Kevin moving, being more active, getting up and down the floor in space, making cuts to the basket. And that was pretty evident in the first quarter where he just dominated.
Game three tomorrow night here, 8:30 tip. Is that right?
Yes, 8:30.
For you here on WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Want to go to the game, register online. You got till like noon this morning. Go to WTAM.com. Jim Jones, great job on the broadcast last night.
Thank you, guys.
Listen tomorrow night. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside every Friday. Jensen Lewis joins us, brought to you by Falls Motor City, who turned to Al Pawlowski last night and said, I told you I'd get paid for the hour. We'd be making more money. Right? Huh?
Oh, no doubt about it, guys. That was a long, long day. But, you know, as you guys alluded to, I mean, you'd rather, you know, get that split than get swept in that doubleheader. So, job well done in game two.
Talk to me about this this starter we had to bring up for game two.
Yeah, Wilsey, with Pletko and yesterday, his first major league start. Now, last year he was up in September when rosters expanded. But, you know, for him, this is his first time he actually got to start a big league game. And knowing what had happened in game one, using all those relievers, having to go extra innings, he even said in his post game, I knew I had to get deep in this game. Well, my gosh, he did it. He pitched into the eighth inning, goes 7 1/3. Never had a 2-0 count the entire outing. I mean, it was just remarkable how he was able to use his fastball and stay ahead of guys, but sorely needed. And then the offense scores 9 5 and really put it away so that the Indians could win that one 13-4.
You know, Jensen, Tito gets his 1,500th win as a manager, and maybe another example of why his ability to just kind of work with each player. I guess he went to Pletko before the game and just a little tongue-in-cheek said to him, well, you know, Adam, you're on a pitch count today. And he looked at him, said, yeah, 225. And it kind of a little levity there, but they really had to have him give them innings last night, didn't they?
No question, Snides. And, yeah, you kind of alluded to Tito's humor there. I'm sure it helped break the ice a little bit with Adam Pletko. And you know you're going to have nerves and some butterflies making your first big league start. But, yeah, I think that just kind of helped Adam settle in a little bit. And, you know, the offense, too, guys, in the last three games, they scored 11 or more runs in each of those games. It's the first time that's happened since 1999. And then you've got Jose Ramirez, who has an extra base hit, two of them in the same inning, the first time that's happened since Shelly Duncan did it back in the early 2000s. I think for what you look at with this offense, especially going into the weekend against New York, you needed to have some production. They've definitely gotten on track with the last 8 to 9 games. And the top of this lineup with Lindor and Kipnis, Mr. Bay, and Ramirez and Edwin, it's looking like the days of old.
We throw Tomlin, Bauer, Clevinger, first pitch tonight, 7:05. Gambliotto.com Tribe Insider with Nicky Camino starts at 6. Meanwhile, all right, Kentucky Derby time, boys. Let's go around. Mike Snyder first. Who you got?
I got Audible as the winner.
Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinary. Audible 8-1, I see.
I believe so.
I have the number 4 horse, Flame Away, the long shot, 45-1.
Jensen Lewis.
I will take the favorite, give me Justify, but if you want to throw a little skin on a long shot, My Boy Jack, the number 10 horse, 18-1.
My pick at number 2, 30-1, Free Drop Billy, which I love to hear on the golf course. Free Drop Billy, take a drop. All right, Jensen, have a great weekend. We're watching you tonight, right?
Likewise, yeah. Thanks, fellas. We'll be on at 6:30, and we'll try and get some sleep for Al, pal, so he's up and awake.
All right, be good, pal. Thank you.